Yeah. Did someone else do parse array? Yeah. Did someone manage?
No, but he's talking about trying to do it even faster than just using parse array.
You tried to do it even faster?
I tried to do it not through standard products of parse arrays, but writing exclusively the final magic.
Right, that's what I was proposing, to just try to understand by thinking of Hamiltonian as this transition between nearest neighbors.
Yes.
We could try to immediately write down what's the final matrix.
It was much slower than creating two sparse arrays and multiply them by the tensor product building.
Okay, that's interesting. This I didn't think. So you are saying that it's possible to build, say, a couple of sparse arrays, multiply, then get another sparse array, then multiply again, and use sparse array, but still use tensor product, and that's still fast.
It's much faster.
Than what we did.
Yes. And
okay. That's interesting. We could check it. I would like to check at the end. So if we have time, let's try to check this proposal. So did everyone understood? So the idea was to, instead of first dealing with this, so let me see if I understand. So you have these sigma matrices, right? You multiply two of them. You already have some zeros, right? Now you say, when I multiply two of them, let me immediately put it as a sparse array. Let me do that for the next two. I have now two sparse arrays. Let me tensor product, and let me make that sparse array, and so on, right?
No, so what he said, he doesn't want to use tensor.
Yeah, but this is what you used.
Yeah, I used it, and I got over 1,000 times faster than what you
had. That's very nice. Okay, this I was rather thinking of trying to do it directly for the big matrix.
This works slower than our program.
Okay, very good. No, very good. Curious, yeah. Did someone else have success or failures concerning sparse array?
Success.
How much faster?
It was rather fast. I did this identity matrix multiplied by a sigma matrix by sigma matrix, tensor product, but they are all sparse arrays and
so
identity matrix, like the way Andrei did.
Sorry, can you repeat?
I think that I was doing it in the way like Andrei did, like multiplying by identity matrix, sigma matrix, another identity matrix, and summing overall like places in the row.
So you did sparse array for the identity matrix, sparse array for the identity matrix, and sparse array for the 2x2 block, for the 4x4 block, and multiply the 4 with tensor product.
Yeah, and that's summing overall.
Summing overall the position.
Yeah, and positions, yeah.
Very nice. Maybe we could try at the end to try to implement some of the ideas that you are proposing so that everyone else can see, and we could all try to see these improvements. Very good. Very good. So, but in any case, if we don't manage, maybe it would be nice if the ones who did sparse array, if they would make the notebooks available for everyone so that people can play. So maybe there were like 4 people who tried or 5, as I saw. So how many? Who managed to do sparse array? I think it would be nice if all these notebooks could be online, just so that people can play, learn with each other's mistakes and successes, and probably people try different things. So I don't know if people could just upload them into some page in the wiki or something like this. I would like to have a look. So that would be nice. Okay, so at some point we will go back to the spin chain. Are there any other questions about Mathematica? Any questions that you might have faced? Any confusions? Any things that you were trying and failed and Mathematica complained? No? So if not, let's start a new notebook. Stylesheet, creative, again, some reasonable color. Let's quit the kernel. Quit. And today we are doing algebra of gamma matrices. Okay? You heard gamma matrices already in Anna's lectures, right? Is it correct? Yeah?
No?
No. Really? I mean. Okay. When I was.
No, I did. Yes, I did.
Okay. Oof. I thought I was dreaming. Yeah. Good. So. So as you remember, gamma matrices are matrices. Gamma, which have an index mu, and the anti-commutator gamma mu gamma nu is equal to the metric. So by this delta, I mean the metric. It can be any signature that you want. It can be 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 minus 1. It depends on if you are working Euclidean, Minkowskian, or whatever, right? So So gamma mu, gamma nu is equal to 2 delta mu nu minus gamma nu, gamma mu. Typically, when we do then, these matrices are matrices that appear a lot whenever we deal with theories with fermions. Let it be relativistic quantum mechanics, quantum field theory, whenever we deal with fermions, we have to multiply these gamma matrices, take traces over gamma matrices, and it's very important to manipulate well the algebra of gamma matrices. So we might need to compute stuff like, so the goal of these lectures, and of course I'm not motivating and I'm explaining where these objects appear, but you should believe me that they will appear throughout quantum field theory and throughout the year. The goal is to learn how to compute, using these rules, how to compute stuff like trace of, say, gamma A, gamma B, gamma A. These two indices are contracted. Gamma C, gamma B, gamma C, gamma D. Stuff like this. Just using these rules of commuting. Of course, this is a matrix. So when I say this, I mean this times the identity matrix, of course. I mean it's matrix times matrix equal matrix. Okay? And the goal is to learn how to use this algebra of gamma matrices to implement, to automatize this commutation. So how to teach Mathematica? Of course, the goal of this exercise is for you to see how to teach Mathematica to do symbolic algebraic manipulations. We could, of course, explicitly know what these gamma matrices are, say, in four dimensions, right? They are some 4x4 matrices. We could just write them down, multiply them, and check what this thing, what this stuff is. This is not what we want to do. We want to teach Mathematica how to do algebra, how to commute objects, how to represent non-commutative products, and so on. Okay, very good. Now, again, maybe I will ask you again, because some of you complained it was a bit too fast. Do you prefer to type, you prefer to type set at the same time, right? Okay, very good. So let's start. So let's first, we have to choose some notation to indicate a product of two gamma matrices. So when we have gamma mu, gamma nu, by the way, this is a nu, it's not very good. We need some notation to denote this product. This is not the same as this, so we need some symbol. We could use dot. We can use circle times like we used last time. We can represent this as gamma mu tensor gamma nu. Of course, we should not be confused. It's not a tensor product. It's a usual matrix product. We have to choose some symbol. So here we can put whatever. This is for Mathematica. I think I will use circle times. Do you become confused if I use circle times? Do you think it's a tensor product? Yes? Okay, then I will use center dot. Okay? So center dot is another function which is predefined. So if you do center dot of A comma B, it gives this nice A with a dot and a B. This is not the same as A dot B. So if we have A dot B, we get this. So center dot is another function. If you ask Mathematica, what is center dot? Let's ask, what is center dot? Mathematica doesn't, it's again some undefined function that the only thing it does is beauty. So it makes the expressions nice. So x, y is the same as x with this dot in the middle. That's why it's called center dot. Y, etc. And to enter it in a nice way, you click escape dot escape, I think, but I never know by heart. I need to escape dot escape. Let's try escape dot escape. Yes. Okay, so you just display escape dot escape, and this gives a dot in the middle. Okay. So the first example that we want, so let's say example one, will be gamma. So gamma is escape G escape. So gamma A center dot escape dot escape. Gamma C escape dot escape. Gamma B escape dot escape. Gamma C, for example. So C is contracted, A and B are free. Okay? So this will be our example one, right? Put a semicolon, we don't want it to display the output, and this is what we want to simplify. Okay? So we could do this one we can do by hand almost, right? So can someone So let's see, for example. In particular, this identity, right? You see that if the indices are the same, so gamma c, so there is summation here, of course, is equal to, you just put them to be the same, is equal to delta cc, there is a summation, so this is just the dimension times the identity matrix, right? So what we can do is, we can replace this gamma c, gamma b, so we have gamma a, and then gamma c, gamma b, we replace by twice the identity, delta bc minus gamma b, gamma c, times gamma c, and this becomes just gamma a twice gamma a, gamma c, delta bc, minus the dimension, we multiply this gamma c, times gamma a, gamma b. And of course, when we have delta symbol contracted here, this is just twice gamma a, gamma b, minus gamma a, gamma b, times dimension. So in total, this is equal to 2 minus the dimension times gamma a, gamma b. Okay, well, it was easy enough to do by hand. But it's the kind of things that we want to teach Mathematica how to do.
So this is just true for Euclidean space, right?
I'm sorry?
This is only true for Euclidean space.
No, if it was not Euclidean, then one of the indices should be down implicitly. So Andrew is asking, both indices are up, it looks very much Euclidean.
No,
if it was not Euclidean, then this C should have been down here.
Also, if it wasn't Euclidean, it wouldn't necessarily be the dimension of identity.
No, it would be. Yeah, because if it would be, C would be down here, then it's always delta function, right? So you have the metric, eta mu nu. So Andrew is saying that delta mu nu should be replaced if you go to Minkowski by eta mu nu. It's true. But eta mu mu, or eta mu nu, by definition, is always the identity matrix. So of course, when you trace it over, it's just a dimension. So this is always correct, even in Minkowskian, right? So, but in Minkowskian, of course, in Minkowski, no one multiplies two vectors with upper indices. So then if we are doing Minkowski, we know that one of them is lower, but who cares which one? Is it clear? So when I say Minkowski, when I write in Minkowski stuff like a mu, I can do a mu, b mu. I mean, people will say, okay, strictly speaking, this doesn't make much sense. This guy should be down or this guy should be down, one of the two, but who cares which, it doesn't matter much. People write this all the time and they know what they mean. They mean that one of them is down. So whenever we have this CC, we always know that one of them is down. And but we can also think that we are doing Euclidean if we want to be very, very picky and know that all indices are up. Okay, did this go over the head of some people? Is it okay? Okay, so this is the example that we want to do. We did it in the blackboard. I hope we didn't do it with any mistake. I hope it was okay. Did someone find a mistake in what we did in the blackboard? No? Okay, so if there is a mistake, it shouldn't be too obvious. So now let's teach Mathematica how to do this. So let's do the following. First, if we have center dot. Okay, if you have a product of two matrices, of A, comma B, we get this. But then suppose we want to multiply this by a matrix C. Then we get this thing here. We get C dotted with the product of A and B. We would like to teach Mathematica that center dot is associative. It doesn't, that bracket there is just doing nothing, right? I would like Mathematica to do instead C, center dot A, center dot B. Now, for Mathematica, if you ask what is the full form or what is the tree form of each of them, you will see that it's very different. Right? For one, we have center dot of C, and the second argument is center dot of AB. For the second one, you have center dot of three arguments, C, A, B. Okay? So we want to teach Mathematica that center dot. So by the way, let's. Okay, all this I can erase, right? I mean, this you really don't care about. So let's first clear all, just to be sure. Let's clear center dot. And let's clear also delta. We will use delta later for Kronecker delta. Okay? And now we want to teach Mathematica to flatten. We want to teach Mathematica that center dot is a flat function. This means associative, in the sense that if you have center dot here, you should do like we do with lists. Remember with lists, if this center dot was a list, when you make flatten, it just opens the list and gives this. Right? We want to teach Mathematica that center dot is associative. So it's very simple. We just say that we just set attributes of center dot, okay, to be flat and one identity. So whenever you use flat, the rule is whenever you use flat, also put one identity. But according to the help of Mathematica, this one identity is a function full of bugs. But according to the help of Mathematica, one identity means that your center dot of just one element is just that element. Okay? Which is product of just one element is just the element itself. Okay? So it means that with one argument, you should do nothing. In practice, I don't think Mathematica does this properly, but it doesn't matter. Whenever you put flat, put one identity, don't think much about it. And now that we use flat, indeed, automatically, Mathematica knows that she flattens and she opens the parentheses here. Okay? So, okay, this is already something nice that we needed to implement. So now, let's try to implement the rules of doing these replacements. So we want to say, for example, that if you have gamma A, comma A, no, sorry, what am I doing? Gamma A product with gamma A, the same thing, we want to say that this goes to delta AA. Right? This was just what we wrote here in the very beginning. Gamma A goes to delta AA. Okay? So this, this will be one of the rules.
Why we write on the AA, not AB?
Why not write here AB?
That's a left side.
Here?
Yeah.
Then it will not be a true replacement. When the indices are the same, it's just delta, right? Now let's do with the one with the different indices. That will be rule one. If someone is still typesetting, just tell me, a bit slower. So rule one. Rule one will be for gamma A dotted with gamma B. Okay? And now we are going to say that this is 2 delta AB minus gamma B dot gamma A. Okay? So we are teaching that gamma A, gamma B gives 2 delta ABs, the second equation that I wrote in the blackboard, minus with the order swap. Now, of course, these two rules, as they are, they cannot give anything reasonable because it will never stop. It will start, pick two matrices, replace them by the opposite order, then do it again, and so on. It will just give a mess. Let's try, for example. Example one, let's try to apply rule one to this. And you see, she decided to use it for the first two entries. She decided to swap the order of gamma A, gamma C. Remember, example one started gamma A, gamma C, and she decided to flip the orders, and now we have gamma C, gamma A. Right? And you could ask, apply it a second time. And you do this, apply it another time, you do this, apply it another time, apply it another time. It will never stop. It will be always applying. There are always products. And this is not what we want to do. But what do we want to do? Can I have a proposal for what do you think would be a smarter thing to do instead of just this rule?
Send correct order.
Sorry?
Set the correct order, maybe to reach it.
Right. So we must have some canonical goal. We must say that. How do you teach someone to compute this? You can teach that. Let's try to put the gammas with the lowest index the index in alphabetically lowest order to the left, the other ones to the right. Right? And then let's send the A's to the left and the Z's to the right, and then start collapsing them with gamma A, and so on. So then we only want to do the replacement if the gammas are not ordered. We want some canonical replacement, right? So we want to do this replacement if A and B are not ordered. If they are ordered, it's already okay. We want to bring this expression to some canonical order. So let's put an if statement here. So we put if. So we only do this replacement if they are not ordered. So if they are not, I apply not to ordered to the function that checks if A and B are ordered. Okay? So if A and B are ordered, so let's try gamma C dot gamma A, and let's do the same with A and C exchanged, and let's apply rule 1, and you will see that if it works properly, she does it only for the first one, because C and A are not ordered. A comes before C in the alphabet. Yes?
You did a replacement with the rules like 5 times before?
Yes.
Is there a way to do that with like the double slash and some kind of a simple
double slash will do infinitely many times. If you want to do several times, there is a way with map, apply repeated. I forgot exactly how to do it.
Okay.
This is something that, how would I find such thing? I would know that slash slash dot is apply several times. I would do slash slash dot, go to help, and then go to C also, browse a bit, and find exactly this thing.
Okay, sure.
So slash slash dot, it tells me it's replace repeated. I go to replace repeated. I find, first of all, is there an option in replace repeated that tells me to replace only a couple of times? For example, here it is, max iteration.
Okay.
So I can just apply replace repeated with some max iteration patterns.
Okay, thanks.
Good.
Federal?
Yes.
That order Q function?
Yes.
Does that just work on alphabetical?
Mathematica always knows, always has some order. So if you do something, say 1, 2, 3, A, B, F, G of Y and Z, and now ask Mathematica to sort, she chooses some order. Wow, that was luck. So let's change this here at least. I mean, she chose some order. It's some canonical order from Mathematica, which I think is really alphabetic order of the head of the expression. So numbers come first, and A, B, F, F and G are in our directions. So, can be whatever, Mathematica will sort and see, is it sorted or not. Okay, so this is our notebook. If it's not ordered, these are the two rules. And now, we can apply to our example. Let's apply to our example, rule 1. And rule 1 applies there. Now you see it applied in the middle, because you remember that we have CB. These are the two ones which are not ordered. And she applied this rule. OK? So what is the next step?
Question. Define the limit.
Sorry?
When I try to evaluate my rules, I get recursion limits exceeded.
So then you probably did not do this part correctly. Okay, so let's see what
happens.
Yeah, you have to get used to it. What's that? You're quitting the kernel? Something that was started. Any problem? What should I do next?
To teach the contractions with delta.
Sorry, did someone say something?
Yes, to teach the mathematical to do contractions with deltas.
That's premature. There is something clearly that by looking at this expression, she has no way of knowing. So let's see how Mathematica thinks of this expression here. I will have, of course, to do it. Wow, this is a bit hard to read. Let's try to reform. So So I replaced gamma by g just to see the full form. Let's try three form, maybe now it will work better.
They can imagine what's in it.
Okay, good. But you understand that the problem is that we have a product of the matrix gamma A with this product of gamma matrices plus delta IB times the product of G. So you want to tell her that it should be distributive. You want to tell that if you have A plus B dot C, this is the same as A dot C plus B dot C. Right? This, there's no way she could know. Yes.
I can't get my rules to work, and I can't find the difference between what I've written and what you've written.
Yeah, did you quit the kernel? I think this is... Yeah, you did? Okay, so let me put here, let me see. Did you try quitting the kernel?
I think there's something.
It was some space. Do you use some keyboard for some different language?
No. Russians and Chinese. Yeah, you just had some wrong space. I just copy pasted into a new cell, so there was some wrong space. It's because you have this dot here. So you finished, and then you said something else.
Mm-hmm.
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 So does everyone have this working? So now we want to teach Mathematica that circle times is, that center dot is linear. So let's do something first, a bit abstract. Let's suppose we want to teach Mathematica that f of g of a, some arbitrary thing, is f g of a. But we want this to be a property of g, not f. So I want to tell Mathematica that g has this property. When g appears inside f of g, it gives this. This is a property of g. I could tell Mathematica that here is a property of f. F of g of something is f g of a. This I don't want to do. I want to do this by telling Mathematica that g has this funny property. So this is how we do. We say that. We teach Mathematica. We say the g slash dot. And this means I'm about to define a property of g. So Mathematica, after this beginning, she knows that we are about to tell her something about g. And now we just write f of g of something equal to fg of something.
I want to treat fg as a new thing, or f of g of something.
Sorry?
I want to treat fg as a two word, two
fg is a new symbol. Fg has nothing to do with f and g. Fg is a new symbol. So now let's see what happens. Let's do, for example, f of g of 2. And it gives fg of 2. You see, it did work. But it's not because she knows what is f, if you ask. What is f? F is nothing. She doesn't know anything about F. But if you ask, what is G? G is a function with this funny property that when it is inside F, it gives this. And Mathematica put this funny symbol here. So you see, Mathematica knows nothing about F. F is absolutely not defined. We told her nothing about F. We did tell her that G has this funny property. And this, indeed, when you ask what is G, this property is safe. And you see F of G of 2, the one which is black, the one that she knows something about is G, not F. Okay? And this works only with F. I mean, if I will try now to have here H of G of 2, it would of course not work. Or if I have F of H of 2, it would of course not work. It only works for the first one, of course.
So it does know something about F.
No, it doesn't know anything about F.
No, it knows that F and G have this relation. So
sorry?
If it only works for F and G,
can you make it work for
yeah, but it's something that's
not a definition of what F is.
Okay, yeah. Of course, it is related to the operation G and F. We are going to do exactly the same, but now G will be our center dot and F will be the operation plus. But I don't want to teach Mathematica something about plus. I want to teach her something about the multiplicative, non-commutative product. So this is why this analogy is suitable. Yes?
Can you just say something about this slash colon as opposed to slash semicolon?
This?
Yeah, what's that doing?
No, this means, when you write in Mathematica, G slash two dots means I am about to tell you something about G. What follows is a property of G. So indeed, by defining it in this way, then if I ask what is F, she doesn't know. What is G, she does know that she has this property. Okay.
And one question. I mean, if you put a F instead of G in the definition, it will be otherwise?
If I put F instead of G in the definition here, it will be otherwise. You will know about F. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back. And let's use exactly that. So let's say Mathematica, I'm about to teach you stuff about center dots. Okay? So now she knows that what follows, actually, what we are about to do, we could have done it without this fancy new command, but I prefer to do it in this way. I think it makes it more legible and a bit more stable. So let's do it in this way. Let's tell her something about center dot, and let's tell her that if you have A1, if you have something, A1 plus something, product with A3, product with something else, okay? This is the same as A1 product with A3 plus A2 product with A3. And let's do the same if the order would be exchanged. So if you have A3.A1, A3.A2. Okay? So we just taught Mathematica that center product is linear. And now, if I run this example, it did distribute. Okay? So now there is this center product plus, there is a plus here, as you see, and there is this stuff. So she does know now how to open brackets.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Would there be any difference if we didn't use the double dot equals and just equals in the assignment?
Then you would have to use to put here two underscores and to put here dot and three underscores because she would not be using flatness efficiently. Okay? This is was an advanced question. I think I will not try to decode. But it is just, yeah, that's the way you would have to do. Unless people don't understand what I did, I will not explain what this was, otherwise people will be more confused. So if people are happy with this, I'll go on. Yeah? So is this clear? Does it work? Does everyone get this? What should we do next? This is already a bit better. Remember, we had this here, where there was a bracket here. Now at least it's open. But not perfect yet, right? So what do we want to do next?
Add the minus sign.
Sorry?
The minus sign.
This minus is really ugly, right? This minus should be out. This delta, this 2 should be out. This delta should be out. Okay? So let's teach Mathematica to take out numbers out. So first, if we ask, is 3 a number? Yes. Is pi a number? Yes. Is delta of a and b a number? No. So let's create a function that for this function numbers are, okay, numbers of course, but also delta of a and b. Delta and a and b is just, I mean, it's just Kronecker delta, it's also a number for us, it's not a matrix. So let's do our own function, our num q, and let's say that num q of delta with some two arguments, whatever, alternatively something which is numeric, okay, is equal to true, otherwise it's false. Okay, so I just defined a fancy way. So num q is a function. If you give her something with delta, it's true. If you give her something which is numeric, it's true. So you see these are patterns. Delta with two things or something which is numeric. Otherwise, it's false.
Can I find this notation with a question mark?
Sorry?
This notation with question, what if she
does? This means a pattern which is numeric.
So the...
So, pattern, if it's numeric. So, let's see. How do I do? So, for example, if I have 5 plus a, and now let's do the following example. 5 plus a, b plus a. And now let's say, if you have something which is numeric plus a, replace this by that. And you see, she did it for the first one. So, she looks for a pattern. It's something plus a, but that something must be numeric. And then it replaces by r. So it did for the first one, not for the second one. Okay?
Why did it go to h?
Sorry?
Why did it do this a, it is in h?
Why did I do this? Just to illustrate this pattern with x.
Okay, so.
Nothing scientific okay, about this screen. Yeah.
So why does it switch a and, b? So b
ah, no,
a
that is just, I mean, plus, if I write b plus a, Mathematica
okay, so,
by default sorts them.
So does it sort? Okay.
This has nothing to do, yeah. Okay, so that it's not confusing, let's. No, that has nothing to do.
Okay.
Okay, so something numeric plus a gives a string, and indeed it works. Yes.
Why does the second line of definition of num q does not apply to numeric things and others?
Okay, good. So let me put this in the garbage about this numeric.
Can you slow down?
Okay, good. So, let's see what happens here. Okay, just one thing. So let's run this and ask what is num q. And you see that first, when you do num q of something, first she will check this. So she will check, is it a delta or is it a number? If so, it's true. And then she will check this. Otherwise, it's false. Right? So there, it will first go through the more specific ones. So if I ask num q of f, it's false, it's not a number. Of 5, it's true.
So
yes.
Why do you just... Why can you just use underscores without the x underscore?
I mean, the basic rule is you try... okay, let me see. For example, let's try to see if we could use just underscore here. I'm not sure if you could. Yeah, you could also. Typically, you can use without variables, but it becomes harder to read.
Okay.
So you typically put variables. But normally, you can also use without variables. With variables, you have the advantage that you can say that you have AA when you have repeated, for example, if you would like this one, you would have to put C underscore. You cannot put underscore, otherwise it means two, it doesn't need to be the same thing. So with two underscores, so if you want to make something that you want to say that F of A and B goes to A to the power B, right? This you can only do if you put explicitly the variables, right? You cannot do this by saying F of something, something. goes to something to the power something, she doesn't know which one to put. I hope. Yeah, if I do this, she doesn't.
Good.
Actually,
since it's
something,
keeps the order.
But this works. So, very rarely you need to use this. But above was a good example. I just said delta with whatever is inside, it's not a replacement, then it's perfect. I could use, though, if I have this, I think I can use this. F something something goes to this, it will work. But I cannot put on the right-hand side something that depends on the on this. This doesn't work. Oops. Okay, so here are some examples that of the difference between the two. F of something goes to this. Why did you keep this? Because even this symbol, for mathematics, everything is a function. Even this symbol for Mathematica, this is something, it's blank. See, this is a function called blank with empty argument. So we just said f of two arguments goes to the blank function. That's what she did. Here we said f of two arguments goes to GGG, that's what she did. And here f of a and b goes to a, this is also what Mathematica did. Okay? Can I scroll up? So let's scroll up to our section. I do recommend that you also keep always a garbage section to put all these comments there. Otherwise, your code will start to be quite huge. So let's close the garbage. And we just defined our function.
Could I have a question? When you define the num cube,
yes.
What's this vertical line that you have? I mean, after delta.
This is alternatives.
Alternative. So
yeah.
It's the same as or.
No. I mean, or is for logic, or is true or false. True or false is true. Alternatives, it's not like or. I mean, true, alternative, false. So, okay, it's, you say f of either true or false is 1. Right? Then if you ask f of true, it's 1. F of false, it's 1. If you say g of true or false is 1, g of false is nothing, because true or false is true. So only g of true is defined. Okay? So this means, this is the same, defining in this way is the same as saying f of true is 1, f of false is 1. It's the same as having two separate definitions. It's just doing two definitions in a faster way. I could have said num of this equal to true, num of this equal to true. It's exactly just a shorter version of that. Whereas this, you see, what is true or false is true. Okay, then g of true is 1. What is g of false? I have no, she has no idea, so she just gives g of false.
So what's the, what gives you false for numeric here, num q? Anything
which is not on the first one. So num q of t is false. Right. It's not in the, it's not delta of something. It's not numeric. Num q of delta of gamma of a is false. Gamma matrix is not a number, it's a matrix. Right?
And if the two lines were swapped, it would be false always?
Sorry?
If the two lines were swapped, it would always be false?
No. If the two lines were swapped, that's a very good question. She would again always sort by priority, by how specific it is. Now if I ask what is num q, she orders always the more specific first and the least specific later. So if I would have, for example, num q of 5 equal to John, this will be the first one. 5 is more specific than just something which is a number. Okay, so she orders, first come the more specific, then the more general ones. There was a question here that I never replied, that I never answered. You had a question?
No, that, it was the question of
the... Ah, okay. So this slash here, so let's put here in the stuff that will go to the garbage, is the same as just defining it twice. It's just the same as doing two definitions. G, num of this is true, num of this is also true.
I have a question about, again, with this numeric set.
Yes.
So Mathematica automatically sorts by prioritizes your commands based on how specific they are.
Yes.
Can that ever lead to issues about whether it's sorting in an order that you don't want it to? Like if you had a more complicated definition of a function with more, I don't know, conditions or something, is there any way to force the prioritizing? Or is that just never an issue?
I mean, I never had that issue, and I use a lot, but
okay.
I use mathematical a lot, I don't know. Yeah, changing order of priorities. Yeah, I don't know. No, typically if you need to change order of priorities, normally it does mean that you are working with very, very dangerous stuff. I mean, typically, and if you really need to depend on which one to check first, it's really your code is, you should really program in a different way. It's really a bad sign if you need such things. Okay, good. So, and now we can teach more stuff about circle times. Let's continue to teach stuff about circle times. Let's say that if we have, for example,
center dot.
Yeah, center dot. More about center dot. So if we have A1 product. Wow, that product was nice. How was it? Wow, we could have used this one. This one I did not know. It's scape C dot scape. Wow. Maybe we could change to this. Let's see what this is. Circle dot, wow. Circle dot is much nicer. Okay, now we have to live with center dot. Okay. So, A1 times A2, suppose one of them is a number. Suppose one of them is a number. So if you have 5 times a gamma matrix, or if you have gamma matrix times 5, or if you have 5 times 5, you just want the product of the two, without the symbol of non-commutative product. So it's enough, so you want to say that this is A1, A2, if at least one of them is a number. So if numq of A2, so if A2 is a number, or if A1 is a number. Okay? By the way, another comment that goes here, or is equivalent to this symbol, okay? You can write double vertical slash. Some people prefer instead of or to use this. So if I have true or false, it gives true, okay?
How do you write the equivalent?
Scape, smaller, minus, bigger, scape. Okay. But this is just, otherwise, what I did here to do this or was scape or scape. Okay. So now we teach her that, okay, if one of them is a number, you multiply. Okay. What else? We should teach that if you have A1, so let's say A3 times A1, we need a space here between the two. Be careful. I don't know if you see. Here, between A3 and A1, there is a space. Otherwise, it will be something else. Now, we say, if you have A3 times A1 dot A2, we remove A3, and then, let's put some brackets just to be sure, A1 dot A2, if A3 is a number. Okay? If A3 is a number, we take it out. So we want to remove, for example, this 2. This 2, we want to put it outside. Okay? And we want to do the same if A3 appears in the right. We have A2 dot, no, times A3, times, again, a space is important here between A2 and A3. It is A3 times A1, A2 if A3 is a number. Okay? So that's it. And now, let's copy again, example, and apply rule 1. and this is what we got. Now the 2 is outside, the delta CB is outside, and the minus is outside.
Could you slow down a
minute? Good. So let me know when you are done copying this part. And let me recommend once again, your code, I hope, is as clean as this. If it's not, create a section and put everything which is not directly needed, copy it down. Otherwise, very soon you will have just a huge mess, and it will be hard to compare what's in the screen with what is in your computer, and you will have a hard time following. Did someone accept this? Did someone not finish? So I will wait till everyone finishes this.
Question?
Yes?
What would happen in the middle line if A1 was a number instead? Would it have ordered it correctly first and then?
Yeah, she knows that product is commutative, so you don't need to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, when you write 5 times A or A times 5, for her it's exactly the same thing. It doesn't matter. This is usual product.
So, maybe I have a small question.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really specified what gamma is, so that's
yes.
Delta.
Yeah.
Apart from this num Q.
Yeah.
Why is delta after gamma?
Ah, this is just, because you have...
The sorting is quite strange, because I mean...
No, it's very natural. You have 2, which is a number, so it starts first.
Yeah.
Then what is this block here? Center dot, so it's a C.
Okay.
And then this is a delta, which is after C. Right? C, D. D is delta.
Okay.
Right? You have 2, C of center dot, and D of delta. I guess. Or maybe delta comes after all letters, I'm not sure. Because it's Z, comma delta. No, okay, delta goes to the very end because it's a Greek letter. So it goes after the alphabet. So, but the logic is 2, then center dot, and then delta. That's why she chose this order.
So if you had gamma and delta itself, then you'd have delta gamma.
Sorry?
So an alphabet delta before gamma.
No, but as I said, as I just showed now.
No, gamma is.
No. But this is not gamma. It's not gamma that is being ordered. This block is center dot. It's C. It's C. So it's 2, then C, and then a letter which is after the alphabet. Okay, this is really completely useless. I mean, it's just about how Mathematica chooses to put the product. Please don't be confused. Okay. Does everyone have this? By the way, remember that we had another rule. It was rule 1, and we can apply also rule 2. Okay? And we can now apply it several times. Okay? Because you see that if you apply rule 1 just once, if you apply just this once, now, I applied first. If you apply it just once, after applying the first time, there is something new which appeared, there is gamma C, and this was in rule 2. So if you apply now several times, the second time she will apply rule 2. So actually here, she only needed to use twice. So this is the same as if I have this, if I first apply rule 1 and then apply rule 2. Okay, it's good. We have here some delta, we are almost redoing what we did in 1 minute in the blackboard after half an hour. Of course, it will pay off, because then we'll do 8 gamma matrices. That will take us 3 hours in the blackboard. So, okay. So now, let's start thinking about teaching her about deltas and about contracting indices. So we want to tell her that this is dim, this is the dimension. We want to teach her that here she should contract and replace this C by a B. Okay? So, Can I go on? Now teaching her about contracting indices. So about contracting indices, we want to tell something, for example, what is delta of A1, A1? Okay? This is dim. Dim is the dimension. Let's also teach her, let's put a comma, let's make a powerful rule which contains the rule 1, the rule 2, and now these new ones that we are adding. Okay? So this will be all the rules so far. So rule 1 was a replacement, rule 2 was another replacement, now we have this one, delta AA goes to dim. You can imagine at some point finding delta let me do something. To motivate the rules that I'm going to do, let's consider an example, which is more complicated, because otherwise I'm going to tell you some rules and you will think that they will never ever appear. So let's create an example too, which will illustrate the need for more rules than the ones that you might naively think. Let's construct something where mathematics is really useful. Gamma D multiplied by gamma A multiplied by gamma C multiplied by gamma B multiplied by gamma D gamma C gamma A. So this would appear if you would have 8 fermions, a bunch of product of gamma matrices, and now we would have to commute this stuff and see what we get. So let's enter this example. So please tell me once you finish typing in this example. And then let's apply the rules to this example to have a better feeling of what kind of rules must we teach her. Then we apply this to this example and we get this stuff. There are some brackets, but the usual kind of brackets. Let's just expand to see better what kind of things we need. Okay? So please everyone tell me once you have this output. Because now we look here and we'll see what kind of things do we need to learn to teach. Based on these two outputs. Yes?
The rule one itself works, but applying to the four matrices it doesn't work.
Sorry?
Can you show once again what rules we have?
What rule one and rule two was?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, error. I'm just going up. And let me copy them down so that people can continue to see this. Yeah, just open the brackets, but the usual brackets, not the ones inside circle them. So when you have this, you see there are some two times this stuff here, for example, here, right? You see? You just open. Now there are no more circle times and almost not anymore. Just expand just to get rid of it. Okay, does everyone have this? Notice that for this it will already be painful. I mean, just to do this by hand, we didn't manage yet to implement the deltas, we didn't do that part yet, but already just to get this by hand will be quite boring. Of course, this can be simplified more. Yes?
In the first term, we have gamma A, gamma B, delta B, A.
Sorry?
In the first term, we have, for example, gamma A, gamma D, delta VA.
You have that?
You have that in the first
term. Yeah, gamma D, gamma A, gamma C, yes, possible.
Yeah, you could simplify that.
Where?
I was just suggesting a new rule.
Here, you mean?
Yes.
No, I'm not suggesting a new rule. I'm asking you if you already accept this.
No, I was suggesting.
Ah, you are suggesting a new rule. Good, good. So what are you suggesting?
We could...
what are you suggesting, exactly?
Simplify gamma A, gamma D, delta VA.
Gamma A, gamma D...
In the first term.
Here. Gamma A, gamma D, and this delta.
Yes.
Right, that's a good idea, yeah. Of course, yeah. We should do it, yeah. We should contract a delta, yeah.
Yeah.
Is someone still accepting? No? Okay, good. Let's go on. So now, what kind of rules do we want? So let's see what kind of things appear. So let's put here our two examples, example one and example two. So for example one, let's first do the rules that appear in example one, or one of them. CC, we want to replace by dimension. Now, there is another one which is very simple, which is this one here. You see that sometimes, and here as well, we get delta function squared. Okay? What is this? What is this? Delta AB squared. Very good. So delta BC squared. Can I write here? Can you see if I write it? So if we have delta AB squared in Mathematica, for humans, this means delta AB, delta AB, which is just delta BB, which is just the dimension. Actually, product of two tensors, of course, within this is up and down if you want, and so on. So this is just the dimension. So that rule is also clear. So if you see a delta function square, replace by dimension. Square, I did control 6 in Mac. To put a square, you can also do head 2 if you don't like.
But you shouldn't A1, A2.
Ah, A1, A2, of course. Sorry, here A1, A2, not A1, A2. So if you have two different ones, you should put. Now, before we do the next one, there is something, there is a nice property of delta that we could teach her that she doesn't know yet, which is that delta is a symmetric function. The order in the arguments doesn't matter. So we want to tell her that if she finds a Kronecker delta, the AB is the same as BA, because then we will have a replacement and we want to contract the index. It doesn't matter if the index appears in the first position or in the second position, right? So if you have VA delta AC, this is VC. But if you have VA delta CA, this is also VC. So we want to teach her that delta is orderless, so that she will automatically do both if you just teach her one. Okay? So then, I hope you allow me, let's go to the very beginning where we define these attributes. It's a nice place to put it here. Let's set attributes of delta to be orderless. Okay?
So why we are the Y flat and one identity cause is that it's associative?
Because flat is exactly what it does. So if you have F of A, F of B and C. This is this, and flatten means that you get rid of this F. Flatten means you open all the brackets. It's exactly, I mean, by definition, it's associative. Right? And it's as when you flatten to a list, you just remove all the brackets. Flatten to F means remove F inside F, which means it is associative. So if you have product of A with BC, it's the same as product of A with B with C. You don't put brackets, you don't need to tell who you multiply first. It's associative.
And what is the other thing?
One identity?
Yeah.
One identity means that if you have a product of a single element, it's the element itself. Okay, so now we set this attribute. So now if we have delta of A, B, is this. If we have delta of B, A, it's also delta of A and B. The order doesn't matter, and Mathematica chooses to order this in the canonical order. Okay? Everyone did this? Set attributes orderless? Yes? Okay, good. So let me put this chunk at the end. So now we can do the, where are we here? We can continue to do the replacements. So now comes the hard one. So let me, by the way, put the rules. I prefer to put them in a slightly more readable way. I'm just clicking enter to put them in a way that I can read them easily. And now comes the complicated rule. This one is a bit subtle, so please, maybe it's better if you pay, if everyone is not typesetting and just paying attention to this one, which is this one. Now if you have delta of A1, A2, and A3, okay? Let's do the following. If we have delta AB times something, any tensor, okay, which contains the index B, right? If it contains the index B, replace this by, let's call this A3, okay? Replace this by A3, where B is replaced by A. Okay? This is what we want to do. The B we want to put an A. Okay? So this is equal to the tensor with an A up there. So what do we want to do? When do we want to do this replacement? We want to do this replacement if A3 contains B. Okay?
And why do we need this condition that A3 contains B?
Because if we don't, we will find something like this. Delta AB times VA. And now we will say this is equal to VA where B is replaced by A. And this is equal to VA. And this should be equal to VB. Right? So, you must pick this quantity and do this replacement, but which one do you do? B go to A or A go to B? It's important, right? Here you do A goes to B, not B goes to A. Right? So, that's why this condition is important. It must contain B. This guy. Okay? I mean, this is how you do these contractions in your head, right? So, if you have delta AB with some tensor, with say C and then A, what you do is you pick this tensor with C and A and replace what? Replace A by B, not B by A. So you must see that it contains A, okay, then A replaced by B. Okay? So this is okay because contains. Okay? So I mean, is this part clear? This is the part which might be a bit subtle conceptually from the point of view of programming, but this is what we do all the time, right? Which is very well illustrated here. So this is not correct here. What would be correct was to say VA where A goes to B, not B goes to A. Yeah? Is it conceptually clear? Okay, good. So now, if you understood this, then it's trivial. So we just say that this goes to... this goes to A3, where A1 is replaced by A2, okay? Provided... provided A3 contains A1, which means it's not free of A1.
is there some difference between the arrows you use?
This one and this one?
Yes.
So this one is immediate. This theme is already evaluated. This one, you wait till you tell me what A3, A1, and A2 are before you evaluate this and this right hand side. It's delayed replacement versus the replacement immediately. I could use always delayed replacement, it would work. I could always do this. Okay, so this is this delayed. So she will only try to evaluate the right hand side after she sees what is A1, A2, and A3. So again, let me show you. Free queue of say V, A, B, C. We ask, does it contain B? It's not true that it is free of B because it has a B. Is it true that it's free of D? Yes, it is true. And if I put a not, then it's false. So it means it does not contain a D. And if I put a B, it's true. So it does contain a B. That probably is a way of saying I'm checking, I'm doing the contain immediately instead of doing not free queue, but this is perfect, I didn't look much. So you see that this function looks at whatever is A3 and checks if it contains B. And indeed it does, and it doesn't contain D. So are you willing to try this rule? So is it clear what was done here? If A3 contains A1, okay, then you can replace A1 by A2. This is always safe, yes?
Will it, because we define delta to be unordered, will that work the other way?
Yes, okay. That's why we define. So because we define delta to be unordered, it works in that example, for example,
so
here. Right, we have this AB. If you put here a VA, it's the A that is replaced. If you put here a B, it would be the B that is replaced because you know that delta is unordered.
So it tries
both. So it tries both.
Okay, cool.
Okay, because delta is unordered, we don't need to teach delta AB, VB, or delta VA, VA. We don't need to teach both. It's automatic. Okay? So these are our rules. Okay, this let me copy down here. So I told you to wait while I explain this rule, so I'm guessing that you are probably now only now typesetting it, so please tell me when you are done. Is someone done typesetting this rule? Is someone not done? Everyone did? Oh, wow. Very fast. Okay, so then let's just try on our examples. Example one, here it is. Let's apply this rule several times. And let's apply simplify at the end. And minus, oof, I was worried. I didn't see the minus. So it's 2 minus dimension times delta A minus B. 2 minus dimension delta A delta B. Okay? Perfect. It works nicely. And now we can do our example 2. And example 2 gives this. Gamma B was the only index which was not contracted times this polynomial of the dimensions. Okay? Now, if you really want to see how nice this code is, you can try to do this by hand. And then you would really suffer a lot. Because you remember example 2 was this. Imagine how many times you have to commute all these indices, contract them, and so on. And B is the only index which is not summed over, so only B remains. And this is the polynomial that multiplies. Okay, does the code work for everyone? Does it not work for someone? Does it work?
I maybe I did something.
Where did it stop working?
It's not giving that the.
So it must be probably some delayed replacement or something like that. Does it work for everyone?
No.
No? Okay. Where did it stop working?
Now.
Make sure that when you enter this new attribute for delta, which was orderless, make sure that you run that part. Yes?
Of
Because we were improving the rules, so I mean the coach.
No, I did not. Have it.
So it's the one that's nomadic. Where is this one that's nomadic? But this one is not in there. So A2 is B. If there is a race or nomadic,
when
you
are
in
L,
Okay, do you allow me to go on? Can I go on? So I saved the notebook already. So now I will save it as part two because I want to clean it a bit. So let's recapitulate what we have. First, we started, let's put everything in the same cell. We started by clearing some functions and giving the function some properties. Okay. Then we had some example to play with. The example we don't need, we can use just at the very end. The example is just to help us build the code, now we can erase. Then we had some rules, some replacement rules. Okay. So if the matrices are not ordered, order them in this way. If you have two repeated matrices replaced by delta function, then we said here is a property about center dot, and we taught Mathematica that center dot is linear. Then we taught Mathematica what for us is a numeric value. It's either what is a numeric value or a delta function is also a numeric value. So we create a new function, numeric value. Then we taught Mathematica that numeric values take the amount of products of matrices. If you have matrix A times matrix B times a number, the number can be out, can be taken out. You can remove these numbers. And if you have a number times a matrix or a number times a number, you don't need the products symbol. And finally, we defined the set of rules, which were the previous rules, the ones where they are ordered or not. Then we defined delta with two indices gives something, gives dimension. Delta square is dimension, and delta times something just replace the index in that something. And that's it. That's all our code. We can actually, since none of these things are running, we can actually, just to make it shorter, put everything in the same cell, just to make it slightly more legible. Okay, so this is all we have. This is all our code, it's just this. And then we had some example too, which I erased, so now I'm copying it again. We just had this example, and we applied our rules several times. and it gives this. Okay? So this is all our code. Everything just fits in one page, it's just this. Okay? So any question about the code? Now is the time to look at it and see that if you understand everything or if there's something unclear. But this is basically all there is. So we teach mathematics some attributes, some replacements, linearity, what are numbers. We teach that numbers can come out. And then we teach her how to contract indices, and that's it. Yes?
Could you once again explain the need for one identity in flat?
Okay, I mean, let's first do an experiment instead of explaining. Let's remove it. Let's see what happens. Maybe nothing. No, it didn't work. So let's see what happened here. What happened? Yeah. You do need one identity, yeah. Okay, let me see. Yeah, flatten doesn't work well if you don't have one identity. So let's try to understand by going to help. I mean, one identity, it's a function with many bugs, I must tell, and you see, even the explanation is not the clearest one. Do you understand this example? Look at this example here. Any function with attribute one identity will match. So if I have set attributes of f to one identity, then I ask, does a match this thing? Is it a function with one identity? X, which by default is 0 and 1. Yeah, let's see what, you see, she says, see also flat, because basically flat always comes with an identity. So if you set the attributes to be flat, let's see possible issues here. Good, this, you see, pattern matching for flat functions requires the one-dimensional attribute as well. Ah, by the way, you probably cannot read this, it's not too small. So let's see, here it's explained why we need it for pattern matching, that's right. So where is it? Here. So this is the part that we want to read. So it says here that this part. So pattern matching for flat functions requires one dimension. So if you set attribute of f to be flat, right. So let me show you what happens. Where is it? Okay, so sorry, let me see. So g of 1, g of integer. So let's test here. F is flat. Now let's see what is match Q. So match Q checks if f of 1, for example, is something with head f. And it's true. This means something whose head is f. It's true. Is it something whose head is g? No, it's false. Now we say here, is f something of an integer? Some function of an integer? It's not, but it should be. Right? I mean, I think this is a bug of Mathematica. It's a shame that they are putting this in the help menu. I mean, it's really humiliating themselves. Because, well, what the hell? This is an integer. So they are basically saying that there is a bug in Mathematica, so if you use flat, Mathematica will freak out, so then you have to use one identity. I mean, this is clearly the sign that, well, what the hell? Isn't f the, why doesn't it work? F of 1 is f of an integer. If suddenly I tell that, by the way, there is one identity, then, okay, then it's true. Okay, well, what changed? F of 1, remove one identity, run again, f of 1. It's a weakness of mathematics. So if you want to use patterns in functions which are flat, you need to use one identity. There must be some logic about it, but yeah, there must be something. reasonable. Okay, so this is it. So as you see, it's quite, finally it's quite short. This is all you need to do to do algebra of Gamma matrices, and you can now do very complicated stuff, and as you saw, it's extremely fast. It computes this. Okay. What should we do? So there are two things that I could do now. We have like, we almost know that time. So maybe I could, I think maybe this is enough. I mean, I could show you, okay, well, let's do something very fast. Maybe.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, that's better. If you have questions, I think it's more.
When we write a code like this, does the order matter? I mean, if we define num q after we use it in center dot, does it matter at all?
No.
No.
No, because it's delayed. So she will only try to use this after telling her what the 1 and 2 is.
If it was not delayed, would it matter?
If it was not delayed, it would matter because she would, for example, imagine here you have num q of this. She would evaluate this num q of this. And no, actually, if it's not defined at all, it's okay because it will just give num q of this and this will be the output. Later, you tell what num q is, and when she will look at that output, she will compute it. But imagine it was simplified or some function that should do something. Then she would automatically do it and it would give nothing, and then you would redefine simplify, but whatever the effect of simplify was, it would already be done. So
things
but typically
are
not.
in the order we write them.
If it's delayed, nothing matters. I mean, typically, in most of the cases, no, we don't need. Of course, if you change the definition of the function, then. But most of the time, no, it doesn't matter. So let me do something. Do you know any connection between gamma matrices and the Lorentz algebra? No? So. So there is this nice relation, which is that this is the Lorentz algebra. So this you saw in Freddy's lecture, right? Or in someone's lecture. So if you commute two Lorentz matrices, two Lorentz generators, right? J mu nu, J alpha beta, this is what the Lorentz algebra is. Now, let's create a section here, and let's check some known fact, which is important sometimes, which is that there is a representation of the Lorentz group in terms of gamma matrices. So the claim is that one representation of these generators is given by J mu nu, okay, or let's use JAB, okay, to be equal to minus I over 4 times the commutator of two gamma matrices. Not the anti-commutator, of course, that gives just delta, but the commutator of two gamma matrices. So gamma A dot gamma B minus gamma B dot gamma A. Okay? So this is the claim. These matrices define a representation of the Lorentz algebra. It has some name, which I always forget. Does someone know? Clifford or something like this? Okay, it's one representation. So if you have explicit matrices, you can construct them and check that this is a good representation of the Lorentz algebra. Binorial representation problem. All right. This is being recorded. Can you remove this part of the lecture where I don't know the name of this couple of things? So we have these generators, JAB. So now we could try to check the Lorentz algebra. So let's.
Should we put two dots in front of the equal sign?
Sorry?
Should we put the colon?
This?
Yeah.
That's not needed. I mean, you can evaluate immediately, doesn't matter. You don't need to wait till you know what A and B are. It's irrelevant there. And now we can check, what's the left-hand side? Okay, the left-hand side is very simple. It's J, A, B. Okay, let's use the same letters as above. Mu, nu, dot, J, alpha, beta. It's the commutator, so minus. the same thing with alpha beta exchange. What's the right-hand side? The right-hand side, let's write it, so it's I delta nu beta j mu alpha plus I delta mu alpha j nu beta minus I delta. I mean, it's just boring copying. I mean, maybe you can just look and I'll put a notebook on it. Some nu alpha minus I delta nu alpha j mu beta. That's it. If I didn't do a mistake, this is it. This is the left-hand side, this is the right-hand side. So if we evaluate it, you see we get this mess, so we get this product. We didn't use the rules yet, so we just have this here. And here we have this, so we have this delta times this stuff and so on. Okay? Now we can apply our rule several times. And here we can also apply our rule several times. And then we can compute left hand side minus right hand side, and we don't get zero. But then it probably means that there are brackets, we just simplify or expand or whatever, and then we do get zero. So this is, for example, a nice application where otherwise it would be a pain to check is I over 4, is it really I over 4, is it I over 2, and so on. We would lose forever. It would take forever, and you see with this code, we just put here some factor if we were not sure, and then we will check what it that must be. So let's put here some omega. Omega is a bad idea. Let's put some zeta 3. And now you would see that you get zeta 3 plus I over 4 appearing here. So clearly zeta 3 is minus I over 4. And now it will work. You see, immediately you would guess, you would fix all this ambiguities in this gamma matrix stuff. Okay, that's it. So any questions? Let's just have Lawrence with capital letters. Finally, did everyone manage to have this working? The main one, this with gamma, beta, and this stuff? No? And those who didn't, if you want, at the end, I can explain. Okay, it's a pity we didn't have time to hear about the sparse array proposals. So maybe you could put them on the wiki, and also if you don't mind, also send me by email so that I receive them and I just give them a look, and tomorrow if we have time we could comment a bit on these different solutions with sparse array. I think that would be fun, to see how to make the spin chain code a bit faster. If you all upload it to the wiki, it's enough. Okay, that's it. Any questions about that? No? Did you manage to fall? Was it too fast? Was it too fast? No? No. Okay. Anyway, the code will be online this afternoon. So you can have then a look again, play with it. Try to see what happens if you don't put this center dot slash dot and so on.